Welcome to Vicious Whispers with Mark Tullius, your source for horror, sci-fi, suspense, and all things violent.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thank you so much for joining me today on Vicious Whispers with Mark Tullius. Today's short story, which we'll play at the end of the episode, will be Last Will and Testament. That is the last story from Untold Mayhem, which will be coming out on February 25th, I believe. Was going to be February 4th, but I have been trouble getting all the artwork for it. In fact, I am probably going to make the decision today just to cancel all the artwork and say, fuck it. That sucks for the people that were excited about being in the book. Maybe what I'll do is just do a special release once all the artwork comes in. Be more money, more work, but at least I won't have the headache of trying to gather all this shit. Right now I've been very, very overwhelmed. Limited amount of time, taking kids to school, neurofeedback from my brain, doctor appointments, all that kind of shit, plus trying to squeeze in jiu-jitsu. So trying to find time for writing is not happening. And on top of that, I am currently trying to get the contest going for trying to stay on Brightside. So Donna Gonzalez is recording it right now, but we're in a rush to edit it all and to release that contest on Tuesday. Monday, I will put out a short little video on the contest rules. I'll be sharing it on here, social media, all that stuff. I believe we're going to have two separate contests. It's for the same thing. It's all, what I'm going to be doing is putting up one chapter a day on YouTube, and then you vote on what happens for the chapter. If you guess correctly, then you get an extra point. Every guess is worth 1 point, and then correct answers are worth two, and there's some other ways to get some points. So that will be happening starting on Tuesday. There'll be 22 days of death. Excited about that, but again, it is extra work, don't have a whole lot of time. So between getting Trinish to Die on Brightside, which delay was also delayed till I think I'm releasing that on the 18th. So I just don't think Untold Mayhem is going to work with the artwork like I had originally wanted. But, oh well. We did just get in a review for Untold Mayhem, and I fucking left it on the printer. I was going to read it to you guys. But now I don't feel like getting up and getting it. But the cool thing about it was I got a 4 out of 5 stars from Indie Reader, which is good. Honestly, it is probably my least favorite collection. Everything I write, whenever I release it, I'll probably have some hesitation. I'm not sure how good it is. Try Not to Die on Brightside, I actually don't have that at all. I'm excited about it. I think it's a good book. Maybe I'm wrong, but I like the story. But with Untold Mayhem, because the stories are from a wide range of genres and times when they were written, I'm just not 100% behind it. I think there's lots of good stories in there. I also think there's some stories that not everyone's going to like. No one's going to like all the stories in there, no matter what. But again, some of the stories I don't like, other people are going to really enjoy, and vice versa. So it is what it is. But Indie Reader said they enjoyed it. It was a 4-star rating. They said fans of Bret Easton Ellis and Stephen King should really enjoy it. And even though it's called Untold Mayhem, An Assortment of Violence, they said it was still worth noting that the stories are very, very violent, which they are. So if you don't like violence, if you don't like stuff like that, over a little over the top, don't check it out. If you do, definitely pre-order it. That comes out on the 25th, probably without artwork. God damn it. What else has been going on? Oh, Twisted Reunion did awesome. Had a BookBub deal for that. I think it was last week or the week before. And it was number one in U.S. horror stories on Amazon. Held it for a while. I think it was number 5 in U.S. horror fiction, or just overall horror fiction. It's always awesome to see that because, yeah, being up there with Stephen King and all my heroes, that's pretty incredible. Definitely got a whole lot more people, a lot more eyes on it, which is awesome. And so, yeah, that was cool. Oh, also today, just bought my tickets to Rammstein. Yeah, my buddy Nato and I are going to be going September 19th, Coliseum. Not a real big fan of seeing shows at the Coliseum, but I definitely want to see Rammstein. And I was planning Well, I'm in the process of planning a trip to Europe with my kids and wife this summer, and we're going to go see System of a Down, maybe some one or two other shows out there. And Rammstein's playing out there, but I was like, that's not a show I could take my kids to, especially my 6-year-old. So I'll be seeing them here on the 19th of September. Yeah, the other thing that kind of sucks, well, it does suck, is that my buddy Michael Portman just passed away. Please, this is not for you to be sad for me. Don't do that at all. I'm fine. He wouldn't want me to be sad. We were never close friends. We played football at Brown together for 1 year. We were friendly, you know. And part of the problem is I don't fucking remember anything because my brain is scrambled from all the concussions and drugs and everything else. But I remember he was always cool. We met once 10 years ago. He reached out. He took me fishing. Super cool guy. Very nice. I appreciated it. And then we started becoming friends when he wrote to me about having CTE. He had CTE symptoms. He said his brain was fucked because he knew that I was writing the brain book. And once I told him what my angle was, why I was writing the book and all that, he said he was happy to help. He shared his story. When I think it was June when I went to go see him and I interviewed him and his wife and daughter and got to see all the interactions between them. They talked about the obstacles that they had and most importantly, the coping mechanism. So how to make it with someone that has CTE or traumatic brain injuries and is really struggling like that. But what made it super hard was Michael's also fighting acute myeloid leukemia. He wasn't even supposed to be alive by then. And then, you know, so seeing that interaction, just the fact that he would even want to talk to me about it, you know, especially with such limited time. But so from that point on, I was following him on Facebook. I went up again to a celebration of life with my wife, which was the next month. Got to see exactly why he had so many close friends, just what kind of person he was. But because of everything he shared with me and that Sarah shared with me, definitely made a huge impact on me. The most important thing was I got to see how to live, whether or not you're facing death. I mean, we're all facing death. Lots of us just don't know it. We don't know when we're going to die. But being able to see how he was handling it, how they were attacking it, how they're going, living their life. You know, he's knocking out all the items on his bucket list. I went up again to see him. I went to Arizona. I don't know, it was last month, I think. Oh, right before Thanksgiving. And, you know, again, he was super sick. He probably shouldn't have been going out with us. His immune system was completely compromised. But we went golfing. We went out to the desert and went shooting, all kinds of stuff like that. And so it was just amazing to see how he chose to live. And I thought that was pretty incredible. And I also got to see how he chose to die, which was being surrounded by his loved ones. And again, that's how I would want to go. So again, not saying any of this to be sad for me, not at all. Super sad for the family. It's terrible, but as far as me, you know, it's someone that I knew and I learned from. And so I think that is exactly what Michael would want. So that is why I brought it up. All right. Because I got so much work to do, we're going to keep this one super short. I'm going to read Last Will and Testament. I am not sure whether or not I'm going to narrate all the stories in Untold Mayhem or get a real narrator to do it. But I figure, you know what? Let's try this one. If you guys like it, let me know and I will narrate the whole thing. If you guys think it sucks, then I will not narrate the whole thing. So send me a message. Let me know whether or not you want to hear me on the recordings, and we will go from there. All right. So hopefully you guys will enjoy this one. Again, this is not making light of death. This is just how I do it. All my writing is pretty much about the fear of death. I'd say that's probably what death is always involved somehow. If you haven't heard it, you should listen to every precious second. That was the story I was going to share today, but I've already put it on here a couple times, so I thought I'd release this new one. Again, not trying to make light of any kind of situation or Michael's death, not at all. This is just a story that I wrote that talks about what I want to do when I die. So hopefully you guys enjoy it. Here it is, Last Will and Testament. Last Will and Testament. Death. It's what I write about. It's what I've been thinking about since I can remember. It's what I wish for the first half of my life. Now that I'm 47, death has become even more real, more of a shadow hanging over my head. I stay relatively healthy and grateful for what I have, always reminding myself I'm lucky to be alive and that nothing's promised. Except death. That motherfucker is guaranteed. Even though I understand death's inevitable, I've never made a will. My wife often points out we should do one, and I always agree, but that's as far as we get. But that's going to change because I've changed my perspective. Death doesn't have to be so depressing. It's just part of our cycle. We come into this world tearing skin, bathed in blood, and welcomed with screams. Why not go out just as gloriously? Over the last year, I've seen some cool stories about people making the most out of death. I applaud them. This is the one time in your life when you are truly the center of attention. Soak that shit up. So, for my last will and testament. First off, I want to get the party started ASAP to keep me looking as fresh as possible. Ideally, I'd like to do the screening a day or two after my demise. Let's book a decent venue, something with a stage. Just please, no Chuck E. Cheese. The stage is important because that's where I'll be, everyone else down below. Instead of a casket, I like to be propped up in a chair. I'm not too picky about what pose I'm in, but make it look natural. Hands where we could see them. We'll need a friend who will usher people up one by one to say goodbye. If people are feeling generous and would like to help pay for the funeral arrangements, they can stuff bills and personal checks in my pockets or down my shirt. If they're cheap or claim to only have credit cards, be sure to set up payments through PayPal. It'd also be a good idea to hire a photographer to capture these moments. Package deals and a la carte purchase options should be made available. I suggest giving each person up to 3 poses with me, and they can do whatever they want with my arms and legs. We can also use the best photos for a Give Me Your Money app to defray costs. Some people in the crowd might not be cool with all this, so let's loosen them up with a little music. Starting slow with some classical, but transitioning smoothly to something peppy. That's when the DJ can play my pre-recorded message, asking people to head to the dance floor. This is a time to celebrate, not be pouty and sad. As soon as everyone's on their feet, it's time for the marionette show. I don't expect any fancy dance moves, but I want them making me look alive up there, at least Weekend at Bernie's quality. The DJ will invite people to dance with me and offer one last goodbye, but a minimum payment will be required. After all, this funeral ain't cheap. That'll wrap up the screening, with everyone in high spirits. At this point, it'd be a huge letdown to simply throw me in a fire or toss me in a hole and let maggots munch through my brain. Get me over to the tanners so they can slice off my tattooed back piece and start the curation process, turning it into a cape that'll be FedExed to the highest bidder about a week after the funeral. Depending on the cost and time involved, we might as well slice off any other tattoos and see if we could get something out of them, maybe a nice headband or two, or sew them together for a belt. From there, I like to be stuffed. Maybe have the hole in my back patched up with a slab of fresh skin off someone else. I'm not sure where we'll be technology-wise when I blink out of existence, but I'm guessing we should be able to keep me in relatively good shape for at least a couple days. Last thing I'd want is to start leaking all over the couch or recliner. Ideally, my family would be able to move me, reposition me, dress me as they see fit. Once I start to spoil or the family grows tired of me, we prepare for one last hurrah. Drones. Yep, they're not just used for killing people in foreign countries. I've seen videos of a guy flying his dead cat, a deer, a cow. So why not me? If the whole stuffing process dries me out too much or makes a marked drone impossible, then I'm fine scrapping the taxidermy because turning me into a drone has top priority. Once they scraped out my innards and replaced them with electronics, fuel, and explosives, everyone will meet us at the beach. It'll be about an hour before sunset, time to start the campfire and tell stories over drinks.
When the sun begins its descent, my friends and family get a chance to fly me, 1 to 2 minutes each, depending on available sunlight. Once everyone has had a turn, my son can don my tattoo cape and headband or belt and take the helm. All the others will grab bows and arrows. If Jake throws a fit about it not being fair, someone please trade with him and let him take some shots. It might even be nice to let him have the first one. For my final flight, let's blast Iron Maiden's Flight of Icarus, the entire event filmed from above and below in order to share on YouTube. Near the end of the song, everyone lights their arrows and I make my final climb toward the sun. Be sure to bring a lot of arrows in case people are drunk and terrible shots. The song will also loop in case this part drags. Eventually, an arrow will hit. I'll burst into flames and a giant explosion will scatter my pieces over the sea. This is my last will and testament. Although I give my family permission to do whatever they see fit. My only rule is that no one take it too seriously. My run will be exactly as long as it needs to be, and I want everyone to know that I'm grateful for every minute of it. The end. All right, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed that short story. Again, that's the final story in Untold Mayhem, which comes out at the end of February. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. I will talk to you later. Peace.